In some applications, we want authorization rules that are based not only on the user, but also on particular resources. And we might want to show and hide UI elements based on that.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the ASP.NET Monsters. In today's episode, we're going to continue looking at authorized tag helpers. And today we're going to look at resource tag helpers.
Yeah, so this is like resource-based authorization and a tag helper that just makes it a lot easier to do that in our Razor code.
Okay, so take me through this. What is a resource?
A resource would be just any kind of thing in your system. So that I'm going to use the same example they used in the official documents when they describe resource-based authentication. That's a document. So a document has, you know, a title, an author, and some content. And the classic example then is that only the user who created that, like the original author of that document, can edit that document. So I think the easiest way to show this then is that I'll just kind of walk through what we're trying to accomplish with a already completed system here, and then we'll kind of back that up and talk about how we implement it.
Sure.
So here in my sample application, I have just the sample thing where I can log in as different users with different roles to see kind of how things work out. So the first rule I have, the first authorization rule, is that you have to be the author of that document to edit it. So I don't want to show edit buttons for everyone. And right now I'm not even logged in, so there are no edit buttons for any of these documents. But if I log in as Joe, I should see edit buttons now for all the documents that were written by Joe. It doesn't do anything. I'm just showing and hiding a button here just to demonstrate the concept. So the second rule that I have is that you can only delete a document if you both originally create, if you were the original author and you are also an admin. Kind of a random rule, but now let's say I log in as Jane and I'm an administrator. I should see a delete button also for my documents. Okay, so the way you evaluate role-based authorization rules in ASP.NET Core is using the authorization service. And I'm not going to go into too much detail about the mechanics of how resource-based authorization works in ASP.NET Core, because the official documentations are really good. I'll link to them in the show notes, and you can kind of walk through their examples there. But the idea is that you basically inject an iAuthorization service, which then you just evaluate in your controllers or the examples that they're showing. But what you do is you pass in to the authorization service, you call authorizeAsync, you pass in the user, so you need to know who it is. You need an instance of the resource, so in this case a document. And then there's two ways you can do it. You can either do it by passing in the name of a policy that's defined at startup, or you can pass in a requirement, which is basically just something that you've defined in your system that implements the iAuthorization requirement, I think is the name of the interface. I'll just double check. Yeah, iAuthorization requirement interface. So if we look at this simple example here, so here what they're doing is on the page that renders the edit view, they're just doing a check by passing in the user in the document and the edit policy and checking the result of authorize async, which either has a succeeded or not, and then they're just deciding what to return. So if it succeeded, they return the page. Otherwise, if the user wasn't authenticated, then they're returning a forbid result. And if they were authenticated, we're saying, you're authenticated in the system, but you're not authorized to see this, we return a challenge result. Writing these is what you have is kind of a combination of, there's the concept of requirements, so a requirement would be something like the same, you are the same author, so that's your requirement. And then the resource is the document. So what you do is you implement an authorization handler that's for that requirement and that resource. So the mapping of the two types. And then there is a handle requirement method that you override. And then you just inspect both your resource and the authorization context where you have access to the current user, and you decide, is this user authorized to do whatever it is that this action is on this particular resource. Then you return either that it succeeded, or you just return that you've completed the task. So kind of a returning nothing.
So that seems pretty manual. So for the example that you have with a bunch of documents,
mm-hmm.
you've got to go through and manually do them, and you'd have to change the model that you were passing back, I guess, to the page to also have attributes on it to say that people are authorized or not.
Yeah, so you would have two options here. You could either, you'd have to add something to your model, like you said, that basically had the information of whether or not the user is authorized to do that action, which means that somewhere in your code, in your Razor page, behind your Razor page or in your MVC controller, you would have to loop through all the resources and call authorize async, which is pretty clumsy. The other option is that you would inject the iAuthorization service into your view and then do all this stuff in your view. So both options are kind of not great, right? Because it's a lot of code that you're writing that's kind of clumsy. So what I did with this tag helper is, if we look at the code for how I rendered this page once the tag helper was there, before we actually look at how I implemented the tag helper, I created a tag helper that's invoked by adding ASP authorize resource to basically any element, where I pass in the resource. So that's how I pass in the resource, and then ASP-policy with the policy name. So here I'm saying, only show this if the current user satisfies the edit policy for this document. Edit document policy for this document. And then the other option is passing in requirements. You can read more about that in the documents. I tend to prefer using policies instead of requirements directly. With policies, you kind of wrap a collection or a set of policy of requirements into a named thing instead of invoking the requirements kind of directly by passing them in. So I kind of prefer going the policy route.
So then you could say maybe that like your policy, your edit document policy, could maybe contain the requirements of editing and renaming?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you could add whatever you want there. It's the same as regular with policies that weren't resource based, where you had requirements like you had to be in a particular role or you needed certain claims, that kind of thing. But now you're also bringing the resources into it at runtime. So just having that tag helper there really cleans things up here, I think, because it's not nearly as much code. I'm just looping over my documents and then basically just annotating the elements that I want to hide with the information it needs to evaluate the authorization rules at runtime. So if we look at the implementation of that tag helper, it's actually not that complicated either. So I have my target elements here where I'm saying, you know, it targets all elements, so I haven't specified an element name at all. But as long as it has those two attributes, the ASP authorize resource and ASP policy, that will invoke the tag helper. Or alternatively, you can use the ASP authorize resource and the ASP requirement. So that's saying what we're targeting. We're passing in two things here through dependency injection. We're passing in the HTTP context accessor that we need in order to get access to the current user through the HTTP context, and then the iAuthorization service to actually evaluate the authorization rule. And then we have some basic properties here, so the policy and requirement that you can pass in, and then the actual resource, which I'm binding to the ASP authorized resource attribute. The process async method ends up being mostly checking my arguments to make sure that we've used a appropriate combination of things. So the resource can't be null, there has to be an actual resource there for us to evaluate this. And then either the policy or the requirement has to be specified, but they can't both be specified because then we don't know which one we should be using. So it's one or the other. And most of this code in this method ends up being just checking for those and throwing exceptions if it's not a valid combination. Eventually, we get into the real meat of it, where we're just calling authorize async and passing in the current user and the resource and the policy, or the user, the resource, and the requirement. And if the result of that is that it did not succeed, then we suppress the output. So we just don't render that HTML at all that was inside that tag and inside that tag. And that's it. That's all it takes. So it's pretty simple. We'll probably do a follow-up episode where we kind of dive more into how the mechanics of implementing handlers and kind of what they mean and defining these policies. But at a high level, that's what this tag helper does, and that's kind of how it simplifies your code. One of the caveats, I guess, would be that when you're doing this, you're potentially evaluating a lot of authorization rules, so there could be a performance hit here if you had a really big table and you were rendering, looping through a number of resources. But if you're talking about a single, let's say you were actually going into the details page for that document, and there were a number of actions related to that document that only certain people were authorized to do, I think that's a pretty good fit there, and it wouldn't be a really significant hit on performance at that point. So you're only dealing with a single resource.
You kind of got to loop over it no matter what approach you take, though. So
yeah, you do.
This is necessarily less efficient.
That's true. It's just in general with resource-based authorization. So the other really big thing, I guess, too, is that showing and hiding a UI element isn't enough to secure your system, right? To really be secure, you also have to, on the whatever this actually linked to, whatever action happened on the server side when you clicked on this, you would also need to check the rule at that time to make sure mm-hmm. that somebody didn't just, you know, hack the URL or manually do a post to your URL to invoke that action. So you can't just show and hide UI elements. You have to secure the back end of it to the server side logic.
Absolutely.
Yep. So that's it for the resource-based authorization tag helper.
Okay, great. I think that's a fantastic shortcut, and that people should jump on that and use it right away. So that's just in your tag helpers?
Yeah, that's in my usual tag helper samples solution up on GitHub, and I also created a NuGet package for this. Wonderful. Which I will link to in the show notes, but that's also up there under tag helper samples authorization. Hey, there's already 140 downloads.
Wow, look at that.
So that's up there too. So that's both the regular authorization tag helper and the resource-based authorization tag helper. So if you want to use this in your own app, you can do that too.
Great. Thanks a lot. So thanks for watching, everybody. Remember to like, comment, and share. And if we read your comment on the air or answer your question on the air, then we'll send you a handy-dandy ASP.NET Monsters sticker for the acceleration of your laptop.
All right. Thanks, Simon.
Great. See everybody next time.
Bye.